thanks for checking out this message from Springmount Church.
For more information about us and what we do, visit our website, springmount.church.
Why not check out all the different groups that run throughout each week in Barrow and on Walney?
And join us every Sunday from 11 a.m. at Salthouse Pavilion in Barrow Infirmary.
If you would like us as a church to pray for you, please email prayer@springmount.church.
Or sign up on our website for monthly news straight to your inbox.
Good morning, church. Good morning, Springmount. I'm here with my wife, Lucy. Lucy, give us a wave. She doesn't like me doing this, but she's here with me. We've come together. We live in Bury, and it was great to see Alan Durham, who we know from Bury. So there's more than just two of us here from with our origins in Bury. We have four children, ranging 26 to 14, who are doing different things in different places today. But it's really good to be here. And I'm here to carry on with your Wise Up series on lessons from the book of Proverbs. So, Ibukun, can I have my slide, please? My first slide. I might be taking you back, some of you. And the title I was given was How We Speak. But I've reframed that because I'm slightly rebellious. Not as rebellious as Johnny, but slightly rebellious. And I've called it Sticks, Stones, and Apples of Gold. But before I launch into this, I want to make a disclaimer right at the very start. And that is, I'm going to talk about the words that we speak. So if there's anybody in this room that struggles with speaking or somebody in your family, I am not being insensitive when I make the assumption, forgive me, and as I'm speaking, that everyone can speak and articulate. If that's you or your family, please hear my heart here. I might be talking to 98% of you, but I just want to make that clear that I don't want to be insensitive to anybody that might just struggle or have a loved one that just struggles to speak for whatever reason that is. There was a theology back in the playground, wasn't there, in name calling, was sticks and stones may break your bones, but what a load of nonsense that was. What a load of nonsense that is. And I'm going to come back to that because I think that's a theology, if we're not careful, that we can adapt from childhood and can go through our life. And in our lives, we have several capacities, don't we? And three of our key capacities are time, money, and actually words that we speak. And words carry power and impact and results. So in preparation, I was thinking of what are some of the really defining words you might think of that famous US president, I have a dream. Those of you that are married, those words, I do, carry a lot of impact and responsibility. You've got the all clear are some words that would be comfortable. You've passed, whether that's your driving test or your exams. You've got the job. I love you. It is finished. Father, forgive them. All powerful words that we know and we live with. What about some of the words that we used in our more impassioned moments? Cuts up at the traffic lights, your football team conceding a last-minute goal. Sometimes some of our words can be quite interesting and you think, whoa, where did that come from? Are you still in the car with me, Jesus? So the words that we use are important. Ibukun, can I have my next slide, please? If these are the answers, what are the questions you might say? Well, 16,215, 15,699. Anybody idea what those numbers are? It's not my expenses for travelling here today. What we can negotiate, I'm sure. Anybody want to have a... I don't know if you're familiar with a... How many charges Manchester City? Yeah, very good, Johnny. Very good. Oh, you we're getting warm on the second row. It's to do with words. Average words spoken a day. There's various bits of research that suggest that a woman on average would speak 16,000 a day and a man just shy of 15,700. There is a myth that women speak more than men, and I've managed to debunk that. I used to hear something that it was 15,000 words a day, and in a traditional family life, maybe way back, a different culture, when the man went out to work and the woman was more at home. Be careful what I say, it's my first time here. Back in that culture, that by the time the man had come home, he'd said his 15,000 words. And the woman, if she'd been with children or without children, had probably said about 300. So here you go, husband. Here you go, man. Debunk that completely. So I feel really good following on from the Women's Day. So women, it's not true. We speak similar amounts. The 154 is 1 hour 54. That's about, on average, the time in each day that we sleep. If you assume there's 7 hours sleep, 1 hour 54 minutes. And we speak about 941 words per hour. So that's come from a source called wordsrated.com. It's not come just from my head and my notes. If you live in Finland, small talk is a no-no, apparently. Have we got anybody Finnish here? No, or from Finland. Southern Italy, the opposite. Yeah, the Italians, and they probably speak a lot more words than that, don't they? They're probably 15,000 an hour, the Italian. And I think Italian men might speak more than Italian women. Sometimes silence is golden, to quote another cliche in a song, isn't it? Sometimes. I have a little story. I used to work with a guy. I'm still friends with him now. He's retired, lives on the Wirral. And we've been to an exhibition at the NEC. I work for a garden products business. That's what I do for a living. I sell to garden centres and DIY stores and retailers. And we've done a show at Glee, and it's pretty intense. And I'd done the driving, dropped him off at a home in the Wirral. His lovely wife, Claire, has said, oh, would you like a bacon sandwich before you travel back to Bury? Yes, I would. And then she was like, at him. She was like, she'd used 215 of her words, it felt like. And Steve's like sat there and just wanted to eat his sandwich. He said, Nige, he said, do you ever feel sometimes when you come home, you just want a bit of silence? And I said, I'm like the police here. I can't get involved in a domestic incident like this. But but what does the Bible tell us about words? Scripture tells us, doesn't it, that the tongue, in other words, words, carries the power of life and death. For most of us, we are walking around with a very dangerous implement in our mouths, aren't we? We've got a lethal weapon here in this tongue and the words. And in particular, the book of Proverbs, hence the series that we're in, tells us probably the most about the words that we use. Can I have my next slide, please? Is that me banging? Are you sure? It's not a distraction. Charles Capp, who is a Christian writer and speaker, said, words are the most powerful thing in the universe. Words are containers. They contain faith or fear, and they produce after their kind. Can I have my next slide, please? Bible can be quite funny at times, can't it? Quite humorous. Sin is not ended by multiplying words, but the prudent hold their tongues. I don't know if you've ever been in a pastoral situation where you just think to the person talking, stop talking now. Sin is not ended by the multiplying of your words. Stop saying more words. Please be quiet. So managing that capacity we have in our lives that we're all given to use words and to speak is key, but also how we use those particular words, the power of life and death that's at the mercy of us as individuals is really important. I just want to go through a few quick headlines. Proverbs has a lot to say about words, and I'd need a series on my own just probably to do this. Proverbs 17:27 tells us that the wise restrain their words. Proverbs 15:4 says a tongue can be soothing. In other words, words can be soothing. The converse in chapter 34, 13 says a tongue can speak evil. James in the New Testament encourages and teaches us, in fact, to keep a tight rein on our tongues. And he goes on in his book to say, out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be free. And if you've read those early chapters in James, you know he kind of likens the tongue to a couple of things, doesn't he? He says, this small thing that we've got is like the rudder on a ship. It's a small part of the ship, but its ability to control the ship and direct the ship is powerful. And then he also goes on to say, our tongue is like a spark that creates a forest fire. Quite powerful, frightening stuff, isn't it? Because we, and I personally, can be quite blasé about talking. So I think one of the conclusions we can clearly come to, point number one, you might say, is words carry power, both good power and bad power. And I want to go in two different directions from here and probably just stop and pray in the middle of two different directions. And the first bit I want to just talk about actually is stepping away from the words that we use and how we speak, but the words that we have received as individuals and from people. I mentioned before that sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never or shall never hurt me. I think originates from about the 1860s, my very basic research tells me. And we kind of adopted that, didn't we, as children, if you're from a similar generational background. And that was playground talk, you know, somebody would call you smelly or call you because you were a City fan like me or whatever. And sticks and stones, you'd say it back to them. But it is nonsense, you know that. It really is nonsense. Some of the most damaging things that can happen to us is verbal damage. I lead a men's weekend in our church. We go to Conwy in North Wales. We went in early February. And there's about 30 of us that go on this men's weekend. And I've never ceased to be amazed and seeing grown men. I'm not going to share any names or anything that relates to their story, because we say what happens on our men's weekend stays on our men's weekend. But grown men in tears over the words that they've been spoken, that have been spoken over them, you know, in the 60s and 70s and beyond. And maybe that's you. You'll never amount to anything. You're not as good as such a body. You'll never be like such a body. You'll never be as good as your father, as your mother, your uncle, your brother. Loser, failure, unwanted, accident, stupid, idiot, fool, foolish, no good. Words that we can, even as Christians, take, embrace, and let live. Some of these harmful words, on occasions, might have come from people who we would have had a different expectation of. Might have come from somebody that we felt should have loved us and said better things, or did love us and should have said better things. Teachers, family members, close ones, even from within the church. Some of us, if we're honest, have probably been on the receiving end of some really hurtful things. So maybe today you've come to church and you're still in a prison of somebody else's words that have been spoke over you. We know two things from Scripture about truth. We know, and lies, at least two things, that the devil is the father of all lies, it tells us, doesn't it? He's got all these children running around called lies. But we know that Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So I want to encourage you today, think about, what is it Jesus says about you? What does Scripture say about you? What does him being on the cross say about how much you're valued, you're loved, you're cherished? What do those words in Psalms say to you that you're fearfully and wonderfully made? What does that mean to you? That you're not actually an accident. That God saw your days, all your days that were ordained for you, before you'd lived one of them, God saw. You're not an accident. You're not a fool. You might have done some foolish things. You might have done some stupid things, but you're not an idiot. You're not a fool. So I want to encourage you today to come to Jesus for renewal, for life, for hope, and for identity. Jesus said, didn't he, I've come not just to give us life, but life in its fullness, abundant life. And some of those words are enemies to the words that Jesus has spoken. They're enemies to abundant life and a full life. I know, because I have been on the receiving end of those words. And I've probably been a giver of those words. I know I've been a giver. I've said things and walked away. And I'm not proud of that. I say this lightheartedly now, but there's some real truth in this. Lucy will say to me sometimes, if I've got to say something to somebody, say it nicely, won't you? So we had a gathering in our church, and our church leader, Andy, said, right, we need to get everyone out together. And it was like a room, you know, you get all that holy chat that you get in church with tea and coffee. We're going back into a session. And he said, can you just round everybody up? So you have to, like, ball at the top of your voice. And Lucy said to me before I said it, say it nicely, Nigel. Now, I say that flippantly, But I am aware that I can just cut to the chase sometimes, thinking I just want the truth to be spoken. Scripture's pretty clear, isn't it, to speak the truth in love. Sometimes I separate it and think it's the truth. And I've had conversations with people thinking, that was a bit blunt, that was a bit sharp. In the heat of the moment, I've said things to people that I regret. And I've had things said, but I'm gonna come on to the words that we say and share. But I just felt coming here today to be with you, there was something about Jesus setting you free from living under that, if you like, that umbrella of the words that have been spoken. So I mean this in the nicest way when I say this, I'm gonna come down to your level. I don't only mean that in a derogatory way. And I'm just gonna pray for you if that's you. I'm not gonna get to the end and pray about this. I wanna pray now about anybody that's just had words said to you that you feel have reduced you or limited you, held you back, restricted you, that you keep replaying. I'm just going to ask Jesus to come and move now. I can't fix that, but he can. I'm not asking you to acknowledge it, but I'm just asking you to close your eyes, please. If that's you today, I just want to picture yourself a bit like that prodigal son, running into the arms of a loving father. I just want you to picture the embrace, whether that's God the Father or Jesus Christ, with his outstretched arms ready to embrace you. And I just want you to fall today into the arms of Jesus and receive his love, his comfort, his embrace, his valuing of you. Remember, those same outstretched arms are the ones that were stretched on the cross because of how much he values you, how much he loves you, how much he cares for you. And I just sense Jesus saying to you, come, my child. Come, daughter. Come, son. Come. And I just want you to just picture yourselves fully embraced in Jesus' grasp. And maybe right now you're receiving your healing. Maybe over these next few days and weeks, Jesus is going to do a work. But I want you to do a second thing. I want you to start to tune your ear into some words that Jesus is going to speak. More than likely through the written word, through the Holy Spirit. I just want to invite you over these next few weeks to hear the words that Jesus says, the truth. The person who himself is the truth, to speak truth to you, because I believe and have faith that he's going to do that. Amen. Amen. I just want to now talk about the words that we use, that capacity, that gift, that tongue, that rudder, that potential firebrand spark in our mouth. Can I have the next slide, please, Ibbacan? Ephesians 4 tells us this, do not let any unwholesome talk, easy for me to say, any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. I don't think it needs a lot of unpacking and an explanation, this particular scripture, does it? But let's focus on wholesome talk, talk that builds up, that doesn't pull down. Call somebody wise, not an idiot. Call them gifted, not stupid. Can I have my next slide as well, please? And the bit down from that as well, is that okay? This should be a second bit. Oh, he's on a separate slide with you. Gracious words are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones. Proverbs 16:24. Let me read that again. Gracious words are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones. Anybody like some gracious words coming their way, yeah? Can I have the next one, please, Ibbacan? Thank you. A word fitly spoken, I love this one. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in a setting of silver. Hence my title, The Apples of Gold. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in a setting of silver. There is something in how we speak, the Bible instructs us, that tells us it's sometimes in the timing, isn't it? You might feel stirred after this morning to go and say something to somebody or text somebody or go around and just say, I want to say this to you and speak life. And when the Holy Spirit's on that and the timing is perfect, I've seen this both sides. You probably have as well, haven't you? Where somebody just comes and says something and says, I just feel God says this about you, or God sees you in this situation. And the timing is just impeccable, isn't it, when the Holy Spirit's on it? It's like apples of gold in a setting of silver. I also felt this scripture as well, this next scripture, when I was thinking about you and just been praying in and preparing for today, from Proverbs 11, verse 11. Thank you. This is interesting. Through the blessing of the upright, a city is exalted. But by the mouth of the wicked, it is destroyed. You've probably in your study of Proverbs looked at, Johnny, you might know the theological name, but almost that contrast that two sentences make in a verse in Proverbs. There's like a compare and contrast. I forgot what the literacy style is, but you've got two things of you. If you go to the second part, the mouth of the wicked destroy a city, but the blessing of the upright exalts a city. So I think we can deduce that that is to do with speaking, isn't it? From that particular verse. What we say about where we live and where we're from is really important. Now, I don't know what the humour is like in Cumbria, but where I come from, where you come from is sometimes like the butt of a joke, isn't there? Oh, ignore him, he's from Bury, you know. Well, what would he know? He's from Bury. And it's very subtle, a bit like sticks and stones, but I think there's something prophetic actually about speaking well of where we come from. Not saying, well, that's typical Barrow that would happen. That just easily happens as Christians, even as Christians, doesn't it? Oh, well, what do we expect? And sometimes I've done it. Lucy and I have watched TV, and you see this family that are doing crazy things, and have got like 3,000 goldfish, 90,000 rabbits, and live in a railway tunnel. And at the end of the interview, we're saying, that was Jeff and Sally from Bury. And we think, yeah, we knew they'd come from Bury. We just saw that coming. But there's a subtlety to it, isn't there? That actually speaking well of where we come. One of the first things Paul said when we started this morning is, God is in this place. So God is in this place. We're God's people, yeah? We're not the only church in Barrow. Might be the best church in Barrow, in my opinion, but not the only church in Barrow. But God's in Barrow. So what gives us the right to speak about Barrow in a bad way? If God's here, God loves Barrow. God's got a heart and a plan and a purpose for it. So I want to encourage you. You might be the only ones in Barrow that speak well, but speak well of the city. Raise the city up in your words. Speak prophetically. That's, in very simple terms, address it not how it is now, but how it could be in God. That's being prophetic. Bless the city, Spring Mount. So I'm probably going to finish a little bit early here. I don't know how many of my words I've used, but not used all my capacity of time. So I just want to finish with just talking about our capacity even, and a challenge that I want to live with you. Mentioned before, we've got 15,000 to 16,000 words per day, if we're average, as it were, if we represent that. How are you going to use your words this week, this year? How will you spend? Will you bless? Will you build? Will you encourage? Will you comfort? Will you call up? Will you speak well of the city? Will you speak well of the nation? Maybe for some of us, we need to repent about some of the things that we've said. I've had to say sorry to Lucy on several occasions for things that I've said to her in the heat of the moment. And she said the same to me. I'll admit it's more me than it is her. Probably a ratio of about 10 to 1 because she's a lot more considerate and gracious than I am. But maybe we need to go back and say, I'm sorry I said that to you. I'm sorry I called you that. I'm sorry I spoke about you in that forum like that or at work. Maybe to the church you might need to say, I spoke badly about us to my neighbour, or whatever. We might just need to repent about some of the words and acknowledge and confess. Some of us this week might need to forgive some of those horrible words that have been spoken. That is key. No matter how painful, how damaging and cutting those words are, and if they've echoed back in your sort of soul this morning from what I've said, I would encourage you, forgive the author of those words. I once heard an analogy that says, when you point the finger, you've probably heard this one, when you point the finger, the man in the Manchester United shirt, sorry to pick on you, it's completely, and I'll do it to you, because otherwise you might, you're pointing three back at yourself, you've probably heard that, haven't you? And then, you know, forgiveness or unforgiveness is a bit like that, isn't it? We keep ourselves in a prison as much as anybody else. So let them go. Lucy and I did a little bit of the Sozo training. Anybody familiar with Sozo and done Sozo? It's fantastic. And without giving the game away, what Sozo does is encourage you to, from what I remember, to understand what the lie is, yeah? And what's the truth? What's Jesus saying here? What's the truth? Is that right? And that's a great practice. What's the truth here? I spoke at a men's breakfast a few years ago for a friend of mine at his church. And I did it on eulogizing or on a eulogy. And there's a bit of me. Please don't hear this as being insensitive or trying to be controversial. But in a way, eulogy is wasted on a dead person. It's good for the room, isn't it? And it, you know, I'm not saying don't do it. You know, when you have, I'm not saying don't do it. But why don't we eulogize more to the living rather than the dead? Why don't we do that? Why don't you say, do you know, I appreciate you, I value you, I love you, I'm thankful for you. Even the small things. When Lucy and I, again, we've done some marriage prep together. One of the things that you write a list in marriage prep about what you're grateful for. We probably don't do it enough. That's why we do marriage prep with other people, because we take ourselves back through it. But in, you know, little things like we value in each other, like Lucy values the fact that I make the first drink of the day because I'm a morning person. She's less so of a morning person. But just those small things were, I feel like I'm bigging my wife up, which I am, because I love my wife, but I sometimes make, she does all the cook, most of the cooking, I'll make salads for lunches. And every time I make her a salad, she texts me and says, thank you for my lovely salad with a kiss and a love heart. I'm thinking, if I had to text Lucy for every fantastic meal, I'd take 2 weeks off to go and catch up. But do you know what I'm saying is, let's not eulogize when we're gone, as it were, or when they're gone. Let's eulogize now. And I'm not talking about some sycophantic sort of stuff that you see that's a bit false and a bit unreal. And if it's difficult, you might be a bit blokey about it and you might sort of go, yeah, you're all right, you know, that might be your starting point. That's fine. Women are far more expressive, I'm sure, yesterday and all that angelic singing. There was lots of beautiful expression. But men, let's not be afraid of saying it. I can say this to you now. I unashamedly love this man. I've only known him 5 years, but he's my brother and I love him. And I met Ramin, who some of you will know Ramin, won't you? I love Ramin. Ramin, more so than Johnny, I'm going to confess. Sexy loves me on his messages. Johnny and I might have a manly kiss or a Liverpool badge, which means I love you, Nigel. But yeah, I'm not ashamed. I love this man. I do love this man. And men, let's not be ashamed of using some of our capacity to say we love, we value. Let's eulogize. Let's build the city up. Let's build the church up. Let's build the unsaved up, yeah. Let's build the lost up. Let's speak words of hope to somebody who nobody else might ever speak a word of hope to. Those that are right at the bottom, that are metaphorically in the gutter, let's be the sort of people, even if it is just good morning. You don't know tomorrow if you say good morning to somebody what's going on. I've heard stories of people saying, I pray to God, these are not Christians, I pray to God, and if somebody said to me, good morning, acknowledge me, I know you want me to carry on living. Good morning can save somebody's life. Words are important. And that's it. It's been great to be here. I think I'm coming back, unless you feel strongly. Thank you so much for having me. If I lived, genuinely, I've not consulted Lucy. If I lived near here, I would absolutely come to this church. I know that 1 hour in, you just feel like a wonderful, warm, loving group of people. We felt that when we came into Barrow, saying to Lucy, we were a little bit early. I know we're just on time, we're a bit early. So our spiritual forefathers would rebuke us for going shopping. We bought some salad and stuff so I could make her some lunch tomorrow from Morrison's. But there's a warmth to Barrow. I'm going to speak well of Barrow. There is a warmth, there is a friendliness, there's an acceptance, and Jesus is here. Amen.